Hello, this is Word of Eternal Life by Pastor Chaco Varghese of Life Eternal Ministries from Parkland, Florida.
Good morning. We have been discussing the parables of Jesus Christ. The parables were one of the ways that Jesus was using it to explain bigger information, bigger details with a little story type of parables. Some of the things that God wanted to speak to the people, there is no language to increase the deeper knowledge of the information. So he uses parables. Now, the parables, first time in the history we see in the Bible, has been used by Jesus Christ in order to explain small things in greater detail or greater things in greater detail. Now, there was a prophecy fulfilled based on Matthew's gospel. Many of the prophecies fulfilled concerning the life and work of Messiah. This message talking about the ministries of Jesus Christ from the book of Matthew. Now, Matthew was a tax collector, Jewish man, who was agent of Rome as an employer, as employed by Rome to be collecting the taxes from his particular location in Judea. Now, being a tax collector, he collected taxes and handed over to Rome. And as he was living as a tax collector, Jesus called him one day as he was passing by and said to Matthew, "Matthew, follow me." And he followed him. And Matthew became his disciple like all the other disciples of Jesus. Now, main thing Matthew have conducted in this Gospel of Matthew is that the eyewitness news, all the eyewitness things Matthew have seen directly from Jesus' ministries. Now, being a disciple who was with Jesus, he had seen and been a witness to the work and ministry of Jesus Christ. He does not needed any third person to introduce and give him the information. Now, there are debates between theologians that Mark was written as the first epistle or gospel. It could have no other, it does not have to have a debate on it, maybe it is correct. But they have both used several of the information each other, which means they both have witnessed. Maybe Mark was not a disciple, but he investigated more information and he wrote it. But Matthew's case, possibly he was the eyewitness, a direct eyewitness of Jesus' ministries. Now, the goal Matthew had, main goal, is not only talk to the world about the Messiah, but also directing more of the information to the Jewish nation. The Jewish people are the one who were waiting for the Messiah, the one who will come and redeem them, the one who will come and get their country back to them, and that person will be Messiah. And Messiah has many signs and symptoms. You know, if a person have a disease, there are many signs and symptoms. A person is an evangelist, they have many signs and behavior actions of an evangelist. A doctor has a training and will have the actions and behavior and the job he does will be as a physician. Now, so as the Messiah. Messiah will come. This message was continuously given to the people of Jewish nation for 4,000 years. But the Messiah came, until the Messiah came, and even after the Messiah came, the message was continuously read in the synagogues. So Jesus Christ himself was watching this, as he is the Messiah, with signs and symbols. Signs and ministries were already being spoken by prophets. Like I said many times, Matthew is bringing those prophecies into revelation, into revealing it to the Jewish people to know this, and also the Gentiles. But mainly he was focusing the Jewish nation. Yeah, brothers and fathers and sisters, and listen, look, this is the Messiah. This is the Messiah who born in Bethlehem according to the prophecy. And his birth was according to the prophecy. He was a virgin's child, as it says in the great prophet Isaiah in chapter 7, verse 14. It is in the Jewish prophecy, the Isaiah's prophecy, they do have them. Now, how many of them have it, I do not know. But I can tell you, it was there. The prophecy was there, because this English Bible is copied from the Hebrew. The Hebrew Old Testament was copied from the Hebrew. So that tells they did have the entire Old Testament, which is the five books, the five beginning books, the Torah, and then there are history, there is poetry, there is worship parts, which are Psalms, and also the history of Jewish nation in Persia and Babylon, all then the prophets. And then they're returning and coming back to the land of Judea, the Judahites, they came back. But Israel, the upper northern nation, did not return. But they will return at the rule of Messiah. When Messiah comes to rule, they will return. All the people of the nations will bring them. This prophecy is in the book of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus said himself. It is in the book of Zechariah. It's in many other prophecies and greatly written too much, lot about their return in the book of Isaiah. So if you study all these prophecies, you can see that the Jewish nation, even the northern kingdom, that we do not know where they are and who they are, and unless they themselves even lost their identity. But at the end of the time, when Christ will return, the Messiah himself will return, and he send his angels. Well, we are talking about the human representatives of the Messiah from Israel, from Judea, and they will return. Every one of them will return. Praise God. Now, the point of conversation here is not about the return of Israelites and joining as a nation under the Messiah in the 1,000-year reign of Messiah. That will happen in the second advent of the Messiah. That also detailed explanation is given in the book of Isaiah and other prophets. Now, the greatest of the thing is the salvation of the people in the first advent. That's what Matthew is talking about, referring, bringing up the prophecies from or the Old Testament prophets, which was given to the Jewish nation, Jewish people, and those prophecies, he pulled them out and he presented them. Look, the Messiah has done what was written of him. Now here, in the 13th chapter of Matthew, is a very classical chapter where Jesus speaks in parables. Now, I mentioned this at least two times last of my lecturing of this, that you will go and read the book of Psalms, amen, in the 78th Psalm, written by Asaph. In that 78th Psalm, that Asaph, who wrote this song, he sings this song of the work of Messiah concerning the parables. Praise God. In the book of Psalms, number 78, praise the Lord, and the verse 2. In the verse 2 of 78. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. The things from of old, which means things from ancient of times, old stuff. There is only God himself know the detailed depth of the knowledge of the wisdom of God that comes out. The things from old. There's one who lived from old eternity to eternity, which is unknown to us, is God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. God and Christ, the Messiah, was in him and with him, and he was working for him. He did the creation for him, and he controls, basically direct the mind of God. I spoke this part so many times because it's so fascinating to know the truth and understand the truth and give the truth to the people of the world. The truth is the only one that stands to the end. And the Messiah, Jesus was the Messiah. He is the Messiah. He will be the Messiah in the future, that who will come and completely save the Jewish nation, those who waiting upon him. And the remnant of them who will live at the end of the time, which I will speak a little bit detail when I go to the chapter 24 of Matthew. Now, the thing is, Matthew is presenting, I'm again and again reinstating this topic, that Matthew is presenting every time Jesus performs his ministry, his miracle, or what he does. It's been pulled out from the prophecy, and he said, look, it was already written about it. It was already written. God in the eternal God already had this proclaimed. When the Messiah come, he will do this. He is the only one who will speak in parables as like this. So continue the message of the parable of Jesus in same chapter 13 of Matthew, as we continue the parable of the weeds explained. The last message I spoke, the parable of the weeds, which means when a good man, a owner of the property, a man who had land, he sowed seeds by his servants, and in a beautiful land he prepared the field for sowing the seed. And he sowed the seed. After some time, the seed, they rose from the earth, they grew, started growing, and then there was some time later they found there were some other seeds also grown along with it, but they look slightly different. They somewhat fake you, look alike. You know, it's like some people, there are a couple of certain people look alike, but some similarity in the physical appearance, so same way. So these weeds that the owner of the house said, when the laborers reported this, they said, we can remove them. But the owner, the who know, who has more wisdom and knowledge, said that, well, don't do it. If you remove them, it will also hurt to the good seeds, the good plant, or the barley, or the wheat, or whichever was sown. So at the end of the time, we will have them separated and put those weeds. They will show up at the end time. When the end of the time, when the harvest time season, what happens is the weeds have its flowers, withered flowers in there, and the real seed, barley or wheat or rice, whatever it was, they had their stack of grains. So the stack of grains, they identify easily, and they are going to be collected. Once they are collected, then the weeds can be destroyed. So you have to wait until the collection time. You had to wait. You had to have patience. See, those who are being persecuted by the weeds, the earth, and the where there are people who hurt you, every places in the workplace, in the schools, in the universities, in the every environment wherever you live, a good seed, child of God or Christian, will have persecuted by the others. So when the others persecute them, you got to have patience. You got to give it to God and you got to pray for them. Maybe they will get saved. Maybe they will repent. But at the end of the time, Jesus said, what happens to the weeds, they will be collected and thrown into the burning furnace and they will be burned. Which is talking about the final judgment. At the final judgment, which is discussed in the book of Revelation, that a great white throne and the one who sat on in front of him, the heavens and the earth pass away, and only the people who lived and who did not resurrect at the first coming, at the second coming of Jesus Christ, who did not resurrect. The second coming is only in the midair, where he blow the trumpet with the mighty archangel Michael, and all these, the trumpet of God and the voice of the Christ will call the saved ones who died in Christ and all those who are living. They all will be transformed. The dead will rise. I mean, the one died in Christ and buried. And they will be taken to heaven. That's a mid-air collection. And from the mid-air, they go to heaven, to the Father's place. I mean, all those things is in the scripture. We can read it over and over. Praise God. Now the evil one who conducted the sons of the evil will be taken to the punishment and eternal judgment in the fiery furnace. So there is a fiery furnace prepared eternally long before the maybe even the recreation of the universe. Satan, who rebelled against God, God already threw him out of heaven by the mighty archangels. They fought against the angels, Satan and his angels, and God prepared them a burning furnace. And at the end of the time, when the judgment comes, Satan will go there before the humanity who followed him. Praise God. And the kingdom of heaven, next parable, is like a treasure hidden in the field. Matthew chapter 13, 44th verse. A treasure hidden, like a treasure hidden in the field. It's a simile. So here Jesus speaking a parable in simile. When a man found it, he had it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. See, where there was this treasure, extremely worthy than more than he can imagine, and all the wealth he had, he sold it in order to purchase this field where there was this treasure. So this treasure speaking about eternal kingdom, especially, I mean, to being in that eternal kingdom. This treasure is your salvation. This treasure is greater than anything else, that you sit one day, please think about the eternity. Where will you spend your eternity? Our eternity is decided. It's in our heart. We have decided it. Why we have decided it? Because we decided either we need to spend eternity with God or we need to be in the burning furnace. Or our soul will be tormented day in, day night with no consolation, no comfort. That is the eternity of a person who did not accept, receive eternal life. You see, eternal life is free. It's given by Christ. It's given by God. It's grace of God's grace. Jesus came and he took the punishment of our sins, and we were freed by God. So all we need to do is receiving it, accepting it. Once you accept your eternal life, you are like the man who received that property, where there is the wealth. This wealth is more richly, more worthy, more than anything else in the world. Look, nothing is greater than your soul, your value of your spirit and your soul. Your soul who lives forever with God, an eternal kingdom, living and ever, rather than going into hellfire. Some people just blindly, they say there is no such thing, there is no heaven, there is no earth, there is no hell, because they do not want to believe it, that because they are frightened of their sins. They are frightened of their punishment. They are frightened that they will have to live in, let's forget about it. Don't think about it. Just enjoy, live this life. Is there another eternity after life from here? One time I was in a hospital as I was a pharmacist and working. I was in the floor. There's one really old person who was sick, and he was sitting on the bed, and he was asking to his neighbor who was also similar age, and he asked, one asked the other, do you think there is another life after this? And the man who heard the question said, no, this is it, everything is right here. So the problem, the people, Some who hear, they don't want to believe that there is an afterlife. There is a life after death of your body, your spirit, and your soul will never die. So God has given that kind of life to the spirit and soul, right? Now, it says, this man who bought that land of wealth. Why can't we receive this? Because this is free. Jesus gave it free. God gives us free. Again, the next verse 45, Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of the great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. See, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom, the heavenly place, to get there, to be there, my God, why don't we wait? Why people wait too long? We have, let's get into the kingdom. Let's enter. Today, you can enter the kingdom by believing in Christ. This is like the pearl which is richest and most expensive, that is similar. That is similar, the kingdom of heaven is like. See, Jesus, as I said earlier in the beginning, I said, there are things that you cannot understand by ordinary human languages. That is, we used, so Jesus Christ used parables in order to explain the deeper things into like a parable. That it is really hard, it is difficult to understand the depth and wisdom of this heaven. I mean, your eternity, you have never seen it. You haven't seen, because you have to believe without seeing it. You got to believe that there is heaven. There, you have to believe that there is hell. And you got to believe that God watches over you on everything you do, and he knows every actions, every natures of behavior and thoughts we have. And we get punished for every wrongdoing. God will punish us, but God loves. God loves before he punishes you. He is a period of love. God has so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. Why it does not get into the heart and the ears and the heart of the people? Why it does not? Because Isaiah said that in the prophecy, in the Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah said, God spoke through Isaiah. When Isaiah was preaching, and he's like a God evangelist of the Old Testament who's spoken to the Judaic people. Praise God. When Isaiah was preaching, the Judahites did not listen to him, and he cried out. It said that the Lord spoke through him and said, be ever hearing but never understanding. Be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. So the healing required, needed at the time Isaiah was prophesying and preaching, and people did not want to hear him because their heart became calloused. Calloused means it became harder. It can't happen. Nothing can be done anymore. So today, open your heart that Christ Jesus is waiting to save us all the time. He is loving us. Again, he said the pearls are parable. Now, one more parable Jesus said, verse 47 of 13th chapter, parable of the net. This is, once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets and threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So as I said, the judgment is coming. The judgment is coming. Its times are getting closer and closer that you don't wait for getting saved. See, the kingdom of heaven is like a net the fishermen put it in the lake. See, Jesus lived around and preached more time on the Sea of Galilee, which was like a big, huge lake, the size of an ocean. And people were fishing there, and he used the same example in order for them to understand that, look, the fisherman, when he catch this big, a net full of fish, there are fish that he don't want. There are certain fish he looks the fish which is takeable, which is he wants it, and which the people are going to buy, and the ones which is not eatable sometimes maybe also. They were thrown back into the water, and he selected the good fish. See, today you want to be, and me to be, the good fish that the fisherman, Christ Jesus, he threw that net into the ocean. The world is the ocean. The world is full of people, all kind of fish, all kind of people, mixed people, different character, different thinking, different ideology, different faith, different belief. Some don't believe nothing. And all these different mixed people, at the end of the ages, Jesus says, the angels will come and they will have talking about the final judgment. So the good fish is the one who heard the word of God and heard it and received it and perceived it and followed it and obeyed God and became the children of God. Those who believe in his name, God Jesus gave them the right to become children of God. Today you also have the right and privilege to be the child of God by accepting and believing Jesus Christ as your Savior, and who taken out your punishment and paid the price for devil. And Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior today, also today and ever. May the Lord richly bless you with this word. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast. And if you have any more questions, or if you'd like to contact me and talk more about this subject, my email address is P like Peter, R like Robert, dot CHACKOV like Victor at gmail.com. That is PR.CHACKOV at gmail.com.
Would people drive a car 100,000 miles with no oil change? Of course not. However, that is what we do to our bodies. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America have a cutting-edge tool to clean blood. It's called Therapeutic Plasma Exchange. Wouldn't everyone like to clean out molds, toxins, herbicides, pesticides, forever chemicals, heavy metals, and even microplastics? Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America can do that. We are in-network with most insurances. Our phone number is 772-298-4477 or